Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and boarded my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Steve Rosenblum with you. Time for suckage roll call. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Mike Tomlin.
Sucking.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, right. It does.
Brian Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man. Like, do we suck?
Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, they used to pick me after the white kids.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you got to embrace the suck.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby.
Oh, my God, this sucks.
Random Bears fan. Steph Curry.
We suck tonight. We'll get better tomorrow. Just a rough night. So no real explanation, really. Just got beaten every facet of the game.
Terry Bors.
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do. Finally! There is a God!
Avenue Q.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be broken, unemployed, and turning 33.
St. John.
Sucks the meal.
Ross Perot.
There will be a jam sucking sound going south.
Devin McCourty.
Sucks to end the season that way.
Nick Chubb.
One of the things that stuck to us when he came here, he said, you know, you got to embrace the suck.
Pat McAfee.
There are some commentators that suck out there.
Nicholas Ehlers.
Not a fun morning. It sucks.
Chris Ballard.
And now we lose these last two games and we just suck.
And the newest addition to our Saturday suckage roll call, Giannis.
We suck.
play bad. They made shots, they played good. They played better than us.
Mark Grody.
Do you and Trash Panda rehearse this sucky open? Because it is just something of beauty. I have your obsession, your project. I just picture you at your home just scouring for anybody who says suck and then immediately calling Trash Panda and saying, I got a new one. I got a new one.
Yes, I did that one day. I went down the suckage, the audio video suckage rabbit hole and pulled out a bunch of these. That, oh, this is great. This is great. In fact, I emailed, I said, I don't know who this, despite my lifelong affinity for both hip and hop and rap, I had no idea who St. John was. But then I looked him up and I sent an email. I said, do we know him? Do we like him? Do we want him? Put him in there. But we've had contributions too, like Julie Swyka. Our friend Julie Swyka helped us with Avenue Q.
Yes, she did. And that was a few weeks back when we only had 15 entries.
And Chris Tannehill has sent us, I think he sent us Chris Ballard recently. He sent us Aloy to start with. And a texter, I think, said, how can you have a suckage roll call and not have Terry Bores in it? There must be something in the vault with Terry Bores on it.
And you guys found it. Nice job.
Yes. And then, did you see what Trash Panda sent out today? The tweet he sent out today announcing the show that we'll have Chris Emma on of The Score and Rick Camp of The Score. It's from Wayne's World. And Trash Panda, share that with the class, for those who didn't see it.
Oh, the famous scene where Garth is getting his hair cut by the suck cut.
And he's saying,
the certainly does suck.
Well, why hasn't that been put into the roll call?
That's a failure on my part, I guess. That's my favorite movie, too. I don't know why. It just never occurred to me.
Plus, Trash Panda, this gets you closer to your goal of an entire segment of Steve's Open.
Yes.
So you don't really have to do much of anything other than press the buttons for the suckage roll call.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah, I got to make a new hockey page in here. I'm running out of room.
There we go. All right. So we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The Tech Zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And that number is 312. What number is it? I forgot. I was about to give up my own.
644-6767.
Yes. 67. I got
you. I
was about to give up my own. Thank you very much.
And that's the phone number and the text line.
It is. So that's,
you know, it's only been the same number for like 10 years, Steve.
Right. So
hey, Steve has a different obsession and a different focus right now, and that's suckage roll call. He can't be expected to remember phone numbers at this point.
That's right. So, Mark Grody, let's go over this. There's Bears news, sort of news, potential news. Let's start with this. This was a tweet from the Mully and Haw show. I don't know if it was Mully or Haw or Dustin William Rhodes, who books all the gambling guys who sound like Muppets, but it said NFL source says Green Bay quarterbacks coach Luke Getsy would be more inclined to join the Bears as OC rather than moving up with the Packers. Matt LaFleur won't give up play calling. Getsy would run his own show with the Bears. As we know, Nathaniel Hackett left the Packers to become the head coach of the Denver Broncos. So let's start there, as that's the biggest news, because that involves the biggest player, most important player, the future of the franchise on this team. What do you know and what do you think?
First of all, I love the name because it sounds like a nickname of Getz. Like his name, it should be Luke Getz, and everybody just calls him Getzy. What's up, Getzy? So he's Luke Getzy. Look, there's always that conflict, that conundrum when you're getting a coach from a great quarterback, from one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Aaron Rodgers. Is Luke Getzy, is his name out there because of Aaron Rodgers? And obviously, you know, there is credit that always does go to coaches, even if there are all world guys, but he, you know, it's not a bad guy to learn from and be around for Luke Getzy. And the idea of a young offensive coordinator coming to the Bears from the Packers organization is fine with me. I mean, it doesn't blow me away. Like none of these guys, like even Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, throw Luke Getsy into the pile of guys whose resumes look good. It looks great on the surface, but I have no idea if Luke Getsy can come in and call plays and be good at that, because you can't mess around this year. The Bears have had scattered play calling for the last 4 years. It's been a huge problem. In-game coaching has been a massive issue for the Chicago Bears for 4 years. So to bring in a guy who hasn't done it in Luke Getsy, while on the surface, resume-wise, all of that stuff, it seems nice, but this is certainly far from a slam dunk.
Well, he's never called plays in the NFL, which is like, you know, several games behind Matt Nagy, and we saw what a disaster Nagy was. I mean,
what I mean. Like, you just can't. Unfortunately, the Bears have put themselves in a situation where you can't take chances on stuff like that. And I guess they are, by definition, taking a chance on the two big names that they hired in Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, because they have never done their jobs either. So I don't know that it's a great idea to continue to bring in now coaches with less experience.
Well, you don't. It's not even a question. Sometimes you ask the question, where does the quarterback end and the coach begin? That's not even an issue with Luke Getsy, because Aaron Rodgers had already won his one single solo Super Bowl. Imagine that. You have Aaron Rodgers for 17 years. All you do is win one Super Bowl.
Well, it's good that at least they got that. You know what I mean? This could have been hell for Aaron Rodgers. Indeed, like zero. Imagine if he had zero. So he got. It's almost like the 2016 Cubs. Thank God the 2016 Cubs won the World Series that year. You know what I mean? Because that puts away a lot of debates and a lot of loser talk. And that's the same thing for Aaron. At least he got that one.
You know, something that was pointed out to me after the Packers lost last week was that if Jay Cutler didn't get hurt in that NFC Championship game, Aaron Rodgers might never have played in a Super Bowl to this point.
It's an interesting thought, man. It really is.
Because you look at, like, Aaron Rodgers played bad in that NFC Championship against the Bears. Like, bad. Just outright sucked.
And Aaron Rodgers has quite the losing streak at home in the playoffs, doesn't he? For a diva like that. But the greater the diva, the greater the disaster. So anyways, the one thing Luke Getsy has been around is, Getsy. And again, this is so much fun laughing at Aaron Rodgers, is that the Packers the last 3 years have won more games than any team that's never appeared in a Super Bowl. Three straight years. That 3 year span. And Luke Getsy has been there. So the regular season's kind of covered, and the playoffs are just the kind of choke. We talked about it last week with the Wiener Circle, how they were going to give. And it wasn't a matter of if Aaron Rodgers choked against the 49ers. It was, they said, when he chokes, we're going to give away free fries with Wisconsin's finest cheddar cheese on top. And they did that on Sunday at the bar there. So Rodgers had won his Super Bowl when Luke Getsy comes into this as a quality control coach and works his way up, and he's a quarterback coach. So I don't know what your... The play calling thing, as you say, is a massive problem, because we've seen how big of a problem it can be. However, the one thing about it, you're hurting your rival ostensibly. If they were going to move him up to offensive coordinator, then you're hurting your greatest rival, the team that just kills you. And Luke Getsy at least knows why Rodgers owns the Bears. Just ask him.
But, yeah.
But with a different version of Matt Nagy, the one hope you have, the one hope I have anyways, is that Luke Getsy is used to, or can understand the value, the need, the imperative to coach players, not fetishizing schemes and peachy keen Anito plays, you know, you drop on a cocktail napkin that don't have one connection from one play to the next. And you know what? If Luke Getsy, let's say he gets the job, and he's the guy, and he develops the gotta-have-it go-to play on third and one or fourth and one, the one that everybody knows is coming, and too bad you can't stop it, and the Bears get that first down, he will be miles ahead of Matt Nagy, who never did it in 4 years.
I will say that if Luke Getsy is to come in, that despite the lack of experience calling plays, I am positive that if he is given the big packet of plays that were called last year, he would look at some of those plays that were called on third and one or fourth and one and say, wait, what did they do here? What is what is that? What? No. You don't do that. So hopefully somebody like that could Getsy or anybody who comes into the position can restore order, you know, just get it to a baseline and then build from that. Like, there was so many things, like Matt Nagy's brain was so far ahead of, he came to the Bears thinking that he had the talent that was in Kansas City. Knew he didn't, but he wanted to do every single thing the same way. From all the trick plays in 2018 to everything that he tried to jam down Mitch Trubisky's throat for years, to even extending it over to Justin Fields. And I know a lot of that was Bill Lazor with the play calls. And now it is time for somebody to come in, and whether it's Matt Eberflus or whomever his coordinators are, just restore order, get things back to a baseline, and coach with the personnel you have. I'm so turned off by Matt Nagy's, his forcing guys into the system, as you said before, and I'm already tired of hearing about Matt Eberflus's 4-3 and the Tampa 2 and how it's got to be that. Who knows? Maybe Eberflus will be more flexible. And I understand that when you run a certain defense, many times you are not in that. The Bears run a 3-4, but many times throughout a game, they're not in a traditional 3-4. And it's the same thing with the 4-3 and the Tampa 2 and whatever defense you are running. But it would be refreshing to hear a head coach or coordinator just say, we are going to coach to the skills these guys have, and we don't have to force it into a precious system. It really turns me off.
Well, we'll see if Bruce Springsteen. I always want to say Bruce Springsteen and the Eberflus Band, and it was just shortened to E Street.
That's a new one.
Yeah, so we're going to work on that. But since we last met, Mark, the Bears have a GM, Ryan Poles. They have a coach, Matt Eberflus. They have other members of the staff. They are looking to Philadelphia to add Ian Cunningham and probably promote him to assistant general manager. This is a Ryan Poles connection. So we're dealing with the Colts. We're dealing with the Chiefs. We're dealing with the Eagles, these organizations. And of all the moving around, and what you talked about is Eberflus as a student of the cover two that we're very familiar with here. We know which players are important in that. But there's a bigger question of which players are important, period, to this football team, given the actual bodies there. So I want to take a break and come back with a trade idea that I want to run by you and our one listener, our audience, and the many texters we have.
That sounds great.
All right. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. We'll be joined at 11:40 by Chris Emma of The Score. We'll talk Bears with him. And at 1 o'clock, Rick Camp will talk Bulls and food will be much more interesting because the Bulls aren't. That's just the way it goes. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Chicago, I'm excited to be here, ready to get to work. Bear down.
Well, that was Matt Eberflus.
Not Flusy?
Not Eberflus, not very Eberflusive. Not certainly not like Dan Cannibal, detailing which body parts he would gnaw on as he gets the Lions to a Super Bowl or a Stanley Cup, whichever comes first. So we will hear from Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, the new GM. Ryan Poles, the new coach, Matt Eberflus, on Monday, 11 a.m. You'll hear it right here on The Score. That will be their first press conference. So they're looking around. The latest NBC Sports reports now that the Bears are requesting an interview, looking at Sanjay Law, the Jaguars wide receivers coach, as their offensive coordinator. I mean, this is really all over the place. There are some dots to connect that I have no idea, Mark.
Pep Hamilton is supposedly interviewing today, I think, out at Hallis Hall. So that's a possibility.
And we know Pep Hamilton. He's been here, and I don't know if that's OC or quarterback's coach. He could make a lateral move with Houston because they fired their coach. Everybody's free. Much like the reason Chris Tabor's in Carolina now.
Yeah, well, I think that Pep Hamilton he's kind of got it good right now because he worked with Davis Mills last year, and I think that part of him is, yeah, he's going to play the Bears against the Texans. I think he would like to have a more important role with the Houston Texans, but who knows what the hell that franchise is doing. And yes, Pep Hamilton was with the Bears back in 07, 08, back when he was a youngin'. Pep Hamilton all of a sudden has become a guy that has been around forever. He's 47 years old. He's been everybody's quarterback's coach. He was an offensive coordinator with Stanford, so he does have experience in play calling, but at the college level, I don't believe that he has called plays in any way, shape, or form unless it was a one-off, like in a preseason game or something, as some coaches will do. So, and by the way, we'll hear more about Mr. Hamilton and what Mark heard, if I may just tease the nearly award-winning segment for later on.
And that'll be top of the hour. That'll be at noon. We'll do that. So the other news, among other news, there's just names flying all over the place. According to Ian Rappaport of NFL Media, NFL Network, blah, blah, blah. Chicago, as requested permission, is all set to interview Philadelphia Director of Player Personnel Ian Cunningham for an elevated personnel position. So what that means is they want him to do the same thing, and they're going to probably give him a title like assistant GM. That's what Ryan Poles wants. So Cunningham really comes from a good pedigree. He started with the Ravens and ended up in Philadelphia. So he has seen the growth and the care and feeding. I mean, you look at Jalen Hurts and you say, hey, yeah, Justin Fields, that's it. There's a similar thing going on there. So You go through the Lamar Jackson years, whatever players that Baltimore found, that what the Ravens develop, what the Eagles have done, and then there's Nick Sirianni going in there playing rock, paper, scissors and getting the Eagles into the playoffs. There's a good pedigree there. And then I looked at what Eberflus wants to do,
with coming from the Tampa 2, one of the most important positions in that defense is Lance Briggs, right? Weak side linebacker.
Sure.
Okay. You're also dealing with the most important position, the most important player, the most important human being in Hallis Hall is Justin Fields, right?
100.
Okay. So you have to protect that, right? And the most important position to protect that is your left tackle. Would you trade Roquan Smith for a left tackle?
Oh, my God.
What's more important in the NFL these days?
That assumes that you have already given up on Tevin Jenkins and have decided that that's a big, fat bust. Because that's exactly what you're saying, is that Tevin Jenkins is a straight bust if the Bears have to trade possibly their best defensive play. Off the top, no. Off the top of my head, no. 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 The answer is no. I would not make that deal.
You sound like Don Cooper.
I know. That's what I was going for.
Yeah, no.
I really was forcing the issue, but yeah. No. No. I don't think so, Chief. I would not trade Roquan Smith. And it's not just because I love Roquan Smith and Bears who have worn the number 58. It's because I have a little more faith in Tevin Jenkins and Larry Borum as being really good tackles in this league. I mean, I know it was a rough ride for Tevin Jenkins last year, but let's not forget that he was one of the most sought after tackles, in the draft, even though he fell to the Bears in the second round.
He's a right tackle in my mind. I know he played left. I also know that the Bears put him in a position to fail. And Matt Nagy had a lot to do with that. I'm just saying that's the way it worked out. But the idea of Ian Cunningham, and here's why I bring this up. The Philadelphia story is this. Jordan Mailata is a third highest ranked tackle according to Pro Football Focus.
High.
All right. He's 6'8".
Keith Van Horn.
346 pounds. He's quick. He's like a wrecking ball. He's a former rugby player. I mean, the story gets really good, but this guy can play football. The third highest ranked left tackle, according to Pro Football Focus this year.
Oh, you got a guy.
You got a guy. He got his start playing left tackle. Well, he's a former rugby player who decided he wanted to play football by watching, this is great, The Blind Side. Isn't that great?
You
watch The Blind Side. So,
hey, that's inspiring.
Yeah.
You know?
And when he got to play in Philadelphia, he replaced a guy with a last name of Peters.
Jason.
And just to talk about his strength a bit, Landon Dickerson, who is an Eagles guard, took Mailata, who's Australian, took him to an indoor golf facility, the kind where you're just banging it against the screens, right? You've seen those, right?
Yeah.
Well, Mailata split a golf ball. He split it in half.
Wow.
So he's not fat, and he's pretty diligent in weight room, okay, if you're wondering about that. But the question remains, if that's so important, if Justin Fields is that important, why would you leave it to a guy who was not at that position, was injured, was coming back, was learning how to play that position? And if you were to, and they're the same age, both are 24, both Mailata and Roquan Smith are 24.
I think that Tevin Jenkins has the physical tools, the quickness, the athleticism to be a left tackle. So you and I differ on that. It is going to be interesting, though, because you bring up this hypothetical, and Ryan Poles is going to have to answer a lot of these questions, and I love it. I love that there's a fresh slate and that we could ask these questions and that there might be different answers. That is what, or even if there aren't directly different answers to us when we have the press conference on Monday, 11 a.m. here on The Score, at least we could see different things happen, even if they're not transparent about it. These guys are going to have their own biases. They're going to have their own idea of who is valuable and who is worth trading and who is worth developing. Who is worth being your left tackle. So I just want to know from you straight up, Steve, I love trade proposals, and this is a well thought out, well researched by you, especially since you have a guy. Would you do that trade?
Yes.
You do it.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know that anybody's going to give you a left tackle, and a texter says, no one's going to give you a left tackle for a middle linebacker. And I said, I'm not asking to give, and he's not necessarily, Roquan Smith is not necessarily a middle linebacker anymore. in a cover two scheme, he could be Lance Briggs.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And when, so he might be a weak side linebacker who gets to punish people and gets to, and can chase them down and may not have to run 40 yards downfield the way Brian Urlacher did. I mean, Brian Urlacher was such a freak, such a spectacular freak that you could run. He could run 40 yards downfield with the tight end if needed be, and he'd still come up and make the tackle. The Lance Briggs position, if you heard Rod Marinelli on The Score, and we've heard so much Cover 2 discussion, the Derek Brooks, the Lance Briggs, all of that lineage leads you to believe, Ryan, that Roquan Smith would be spectacular in that role. But that's still, you know, if you look at offense versus defense in last week's spectacular games, you're going to have to play defense, and the Niners just, the Niners were the team that played spectacular defense and special teams to shut down the diva from Wisconsin. But there's such an emphasis on the offense. And if you're dealing with a future of your franchise in Justin Fields, my issue is protecting him first. And if I have a chance to get that kind of tackle, guy with the same age, and no one's going to give you a tackle unless there are contract problems. I mean, one of the discussions we've heard this week is, do the Bears approach Roquan Smith about giving him the extension now? Do they do it now? Do they get ahead of this game? Do they not wait till it gets close? Right?
Yeah, and again, we don't know what value Ryan Poles puts in a linebacker who's played for four years, who appears to be on the upswing, and it does appear he's going to get a nice chunk of change from somebody, but who knows what Ryan Poles? Hey, since he played offensive line, he might dig your trade idea. That's for sure. And then defensively, what I have realized is, and I hate saying this because I don't like I've always hated the terminology bend but don't break, but that's the way if you're a bend but don't break defense in this NFL with going up against the elite teams, the teams that we see now in the postseason, those games to which you referred earlier, bend but don't break is pretty awesome. Because if you're keeping teams out of the end zone and you're holding them to three, even though they're getting between the 20s with ease, they're coasting. If you hold teams to a field goal, good for you. So if you're building, if you're building a defense right now, stop them from scoring six and you're in good shape just for a while until the NFL changes again in 10 years and it goes back to something a little bit more even, shall we say, between the two sides of the ball.
Well, the thing I like about Eberflus's defense and Eberflus's approach is the same thing I loved about Lovey's approach. The while you're talking bend but don't break and everybody drops to their landmarks, and they're all eyes in a cover two are on the quarterback or on the ball, wherever it is, ball carrier, whatever, quarterback. But the emphasis on takeaways, that the fact that his defense is in has been top 10 in takeaways the last 3 years and doubled what the Bears did last year. And we've seen the precipitous fall in the Bears. And most notably in the person of Eddie Jackson, who got paid and then did nothing. And that has been a spectacular devolution of the Bears' defense. And what happens is with this defense, another reason to love this is, if he can teach it the way Lovey did and the Bears can get takeaways, you're giving Justin Fields that many more possessions, that many more chances to learn, to score, to shine, to soar. And I love that opportunity. I love the way that complementary football works. Let me put it that way.
From 773 area code, I think I'm with Steve, Crazy Dave. Get a badass lineman. The next 5 to 6 years might be worth Roquan. From the 312, a healthy Mac, Quinn, Roquan Smith could be a very dangerous crew next season. Don't trade Roquan Smith. I mean, we've all been sitting here waiting since 2018 to see some sort of version of that defense in terms of height of play. I mean, they were able to attach the word elite to 2018, and now they're, again, order must be restored. And there are so many really good names on this defense, mentioning those three right there with Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack, and and
Robert Quinn.
I don't know why Robert Quinn's name didn't want to come to my brain. Jalen Johnson. Akeem Hicks is probably out of here at this point. But there still is enough talent on this defense to resurrect it. Now, they're at the tail end because of the ages of some of these guys to where you can really pop and have a really good year defensive. I've put away elite. But just to get it back to where there aren't the jarring explosive plays against this defense, I think is still attainable.
Well, we will continue this discussion with Chris Emma, who covers the Bears for the Score, and we'll continue the football talk. He's Mark Rohde. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We're talking Bears, and Mark, are we agreed that Ryan Poles is not the best left tackle in the building?
I do agree with that.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
I do, Steve. And I know that was a serious question.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that the GM is not the best left tackle in the building. So at least there's some hope, even if they don't make my trade.
You're fine, Steve. You're fine.
Okay. Saturday suckage, of Real course. Good. We suck so you don't have to. You can tell, right? Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I love the Bears.
Don't we all? Welcome in and welcome back. Steve Russell and Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, we are going to the Score's Hotline. And guests joining us on the Score Hotline is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We welcome back to our show, to our airwaves, Chris Emma, covers the Bears for the Score. Chris, how you doing?
What's up? How we doing?
We're doing just great. When is your time to interview as the Bears' offensive coordinator?
You know, the Bears have proven they're going to do some thorough interview processes. That's what I found the last 2+ weeks of this. So, yeah, I think I'm up tomorrow morning.
So the idea of a guy from Green Bay who's never called plays, or Pep Hamilton who has, and last he was in Houston, which is a dumpster fire, and now there's a report that the Jaguars wide receivers coach is interviewing for this. I have no idea what has to satisfy certain rules and what's legitimate. What do you know? What do you think? What do you believe is their best avenue, the quickest for success?
You know, I think Luke Getsy, the Packers quarterbacks coach, has potential. I like anybody who's been involved with that kind of system that Matt LaFleur's had. Obviously, it's a different type of scheme you're going to operate here in Chicago, but I'm certainly intrigued by the upside there. Keep an eye on Mike Kafka as well, the Chiefs quarterbacks coach right now. He's next in line to their OC position if Eric Bieniemy is hired. If Bieniemy is passed up once again in this cycle, Andy Reid, who's blocked interviews for Kafka before, I think he'd be okay with Kafka leaving, and I think Kafka, the Chicago native, the Northwestern product, would be comfortable taking this spot because it's a chance to run this offense as your own, to build your own scheme, to develop Justin Fields. There's going to be a lot of intrigue to taking this position and being the offensive coach alongside a defensive head coach. So keep an eye on Kafka as well.
Chris Emma joining us on the Score. He and I will both be present live in person at Hallis Hall on Monday at 11 a.m. for the introductory press conference or conferences for the new GM, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus as well, the new head coach. Again, 11 a.m. on the Score. And Chris, I know you've always been a process guy from sitting next to you out at Hallis Hall. You love process. What have you thought? I want to back it up. What have you thought about the Bears hiring process in landing Poles and Eberflus, and what has been your reaction to those specific hirings?
Who doesn't love a good process, right?
You know, that's what you're always telling me, man.
I think they did this right. I give them credit, and I was skeptical about how they would approach this because it's still George McCaskey and Ted Phillips signing off on these hires. It's the same song and dance that we've seen with failed choices before, but at the very least, I like the way they handled this. Bill Polian clearly had a lot of input. I like the names that they brought to the table. They were thorough throughout. But most importantly of this all, they found their general manager, and then they stepped aside. And that was Ryan Poles' pick. He's confident in his decisions. He stepped up to the plate, and he made the choice that he felt was best for the Bears. And we'll see if it works out. And clearly, this is all Ryan Poles' show now, but I appreciate the fact that this wasn't an arranged marriage. Ryan Poles had his input before he was even signed off and hired as general manager. One of the questions, of course, is who do you want as your head coach? And they identify those targets. Matt Eberflus was the first finalist in the search. He was the first person requested for that second interview. That was Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles felt strongly about Matt Eberflus, did a thorough process with Jim Caldwell and Dan Quinn as well. But he found his guy, and I see some of the potential that he does in Eberflus. Come back to me when we know who the offensive coordinator is going to be and what that system is going to look like. But I see the upside in this.
We're talking with Chris Emma of The Score, talking Bears. Mark and Chris are talking process. So let's talk about the process. What did you think about the process of George McCaskey as the Uber driver picking up Ryan Poles?
I want to investigate if he does that for everybody. Obviously, that one was spotted, but it seems like a very George McCaskey thing to do, right? I mean, he's not the kind of guy who's, you know, got his luxury auto service driving him around everywhere. He's the kind of guy who will pick you up at the airport. If you've ever been asked to pick up somebody at O'Hare, you are a saint.
It's an act of love.
I know me personally, probably you guys as well. I don't want to speak for you here, but I'm looking for any reason to get out of that. So, tip your cap to George McCaskey. It's a classy move.
But I think I want to point this out. I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was too. Adorable. Thank you for saying that.
And the reason it
wasn't worth making fun of or ripping on. Thanks for the but go on, Steve.
Right, but one of the reasons why is I want to whether it's just the folksiness of George being George and then we're family and that kind of thing. Okay, maybe they actually found out something that sells a candidate. That maybe Ryan Poles had another, I don't know if he had other offers that were serious or he was going someplace else or that he was thinking of, you know, just I'm going to withdraw my name. Whatever it was, maybe the Bears actually in the process, in their homework, they found out something that sold him and that was the kind of personal touch that he wanted to see or that he liked seeing that went into his decision. That I'll give the Bears the possibility that they did their due diligence and didn't Bears it up the way Ted and George usually do. And the other thing is this, that there was much discussion about and laughter over this whole thing, that George did that and, you know, you send a car service there, you send a private jet, do you know what the Giants did for Joe Shane, the guy they would hire for their GM? They put him on a commercial flight and they got him a middle seat.
In the back row.
And the back row.
They've given up on head coaches.
They GMs, did. And he said, I'd have flown on the wing if I was going to get this job.
Oh, wow.
So really, everybody, we all project on the way they should do it. And you know what? If you had a private jet, that would be a great way to go. Whatever. But that's what the New York Giants, they put their guy in a middle seat near the bathroom. And I would want to be near the bathroom at my age. It's a very important consideration. But I want an aisle seat so I don't have to disturb somebody when I go every 10 minutes.
You know, but in all seriousness with George McCaskey, now consider this. Ryan Poles was supposed to get on a flight and hop up to Minneapolis to go interview for the Vikings general manager job. And it seems like he was one of their first targets. The Wilfs up in Minneapolis are some of the best owners in all the sports. Great people to work with. But Ryan Poles stuck around for George McCaskey. And George McCaskey, for all the beatings that he takes in Chicago and all the criticism and skepticism, and rightfully so, of course, he's somebody you want to work for if you're Ryan Poles. Like, he's a loyal general manager. He treats you well. And he gets out of your way when you want to make your football decisions. Like, this isn't somebody who's overbearing. And I know there's been a lot of thoughts about what Ted Phillips does in football decisions, but he truly does stay out of the picture and lets the general manager lead those football ops. So there's a lot of upside to working for George McCaskey and Ted Phillips, and Ryan Poles clearly is an example of that.
I mean, like, Chris, during that press conference, one of the greatest things that George revealed to us, and I did think it was a huge revelation because, you know, there was so much other stuff that it didn't get much attention, but it blew me away when he shared the story about Matt Nagy coming to him to ask about the quarterbacks and Justin Fields. What do I do? What do I do here? And George McCaskey revealed that he told him, I don't want anything to do with this. This is what goes on the field. It's up to you. So that's the epitome right there.
Yeah, and it's why forever that George has resisted putting that layer in between the general manager and Ted Phillips. He wants that general manager to be empowered. He wants the head coach to be the leading voice of, in terms of representing the team and having that kind of dynamic. The word that we've heard, collaboration. He wants that collaborative spirit between his head coach and GM and leading this thing forward. So, yeah, Dad, George admitted he was uncomfortable that Nagy asked him that question. I don't know if anybody really wanted to hear that or if that was going to inspire any confidence, but it was certainly worth noting.
You know what it is, Steve? We need to make collaboration good again because it's a dirty word in sports circles in Chicago, but it's actually a great word. So let's make collaboration good again.
Well, I don't want to, it depends on what context, because what it does is it absolves a particular person of blame and everybody gets the blame. And I don't want everybody getting the blame. You stand up. You stand up and you wear it, whatever you're doing. You take the blame.
Yeah, you're the GM. You're the head coach.
You make the decision. You pound the table. Yeah. So I got a question for you guys that you bring up. You that moment when George says Matt Nagy went to him and asked about, and which was the opposite of what Hub reported. And Hub reported that George said, play the kid. And that explained the turnabout. And so there, each side is, I confess, they're wrong, whatever they're doing. Would that be the week, because we don't know, would that be the week that George hired Bill Polian as his consultant?
it's an interesting question.
But if your head coach comes to you and says, what do you think, George? You're not a football evaluator. What do you think we should do with the most important position in sports?
I don't know. I think you don't hire a guy over there. Maybe make a phone call to somebody that you look up to, and you're like, hey, Bill, so I had my quarter or my head coach asking me this. What should I? I don't know that that's like I got to hire somebody as much as I need to consult with somebody. But I don't know. Chris, what do you think?
You know, I'd love to know when that timeline began. I asked George McCaskey in that very press conference, what led you to keep Matt Nagy around as long as you did? Because Nagy was the one who was a lame duck as clear as day for those last 6-7 weeks. And at the same time, developing your franchise quarterback in a pivotal rookie season. I didn't like that. I don't know if Matt Nagy liked it, frankly. The fact that he was, you know, forced to stick around with this one and be put in a really uncomfortable situation. But George's response to me was, well, we had this process kind of underway, referring to Bill Polian. So I don't know when Bill Polian was first contacted, but I'm going to guess it was probably sometime around November, and when Nagy's place on the hot seat became really clear.
This is being reported or being written out on NBC Sports Chicago. The Steve Smith Sr.'s Cut It Up podcast, Alan Robinson was on. And we wondered why Alan Robinson became an absolute zero. He was what, as Muhsin Muhammad described 25 years ago, Chicago is where receivers go to die. Alan Robinson revealed Nagy failed to meet with him after the 2020 season. Just like he failed to meet with Trubisky, according to reports, after the 2019 season. Robinson said on the podcast, it wasn't that I didn't talk to him. We didn't talk. I'm going to say we didn't talk because from the time the season ended on that plane after the Saints game, that means the playoff game, the following 24 to 48 hours, there's some sort of exit meetings. For us, because of COVID, that was supposed to be scheduled with the head coach and management, or however they were coordinating that, via Zoom. Talk to the receivers coach, talk to equipment, everybody else. A few days go by, no Zoom link. Week go by, no Zoom link. I'm a pending free agent at that point. I didn't know which direction they were wanting to go, either way or not. So for me, I'm waiting for that exit meeting so we can talk about this thing. Like, what do you all see or think in the foreseeable future just to give me an idea? So for me, if it's supposed to be a Zoom link, send to me the Zoom link. Cool. All right. I'm waiting for the Zoom link so we can chop it up and see what's next. Even from a football side, from how do we improve next year? A week go by, no Zoom link. 2 weeks, no Zoom. Now January, we're into February. Nope. This, I shouldn't say it stuns me because we're learning more about just how stupid Matt Nagy was, just how bad of a head coach he was, just the way he had so few people skills or was missing major people skills. Does this surprise you or does this help you understand how Allen Robinson became less than an afterthought in this offense?
I'd separate the fact that Robinson was very hurt for a lot of the season and playing through it. Also, some of the issues with Justin Fields in terms of processing coverages and understanding Allen Robinson as a target. But also the fact that when we're talking about Matt Nagy, that they probably should have made this change last January. Like, they needed the house cleaning then. It was 3 years down. You knew this season wasn't going to get any better. You saw the opportunity to draft a quarterback. Granted, you didn't know you'd be able to trade up and get Justin Fields, but they needed that fresh start a year ago, and some of the bits of dysfunction really leaked through whatever potential this season had, starting in January with these meetings that apparently didn't happen, but like you're referring to. This was a bad situation. I'm guessing that the meeting that first fell apart because Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace had that 48-hour period in January of 21 in which they weren't sure if they were going to be retained, and that decision wasn't fully made until, I think, the Wednesday after that Saints game. Yeah, and they let this thing really linger into a season where, which became pivotal for developing a rookie quarterback. And there were so many aspects of Matt Nagy, for all he put into this job, and I tip his cap for, you know, he left this thing with class. And but at the same point, like, you really jeopardized everything in developing a young roster with a lame duck coach. And it was clear going into the season that Nagy was going to have an uphill fight to save his job. And once he got into the thick of the season in November, you really saw he was not going to be back. So there were way too many games at the end of the season where Nagy probably should have been the man in charge.
Mark, do you have any thoughts on that? What Robinson idea?
Oh, yeah. You know, it was funny. I heard Stud say we got to get out of here. But I actually did have a follow-up to that. It's just a technicality, Chris, and that is the Bears could still bring Allen Robinson back, right? They could franchise him again or even still offer free agency money to him, correct?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that one.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but it came to my brain just because you do have a new general manager who may from afar have been looking and go, what the hell are they doing with Allen Robinson?
And also you retweeted, Mark, the Allen Robinson's tweet. No lie, I got mad love for the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
Bang, bang. Yeah. Navy blue heart / orange heart.
Yeah, he's always loved being a Bear. So, he likes the big market. He likes Chicago. He likes that's it. I think he really, like, wherever Allen Robinson ends up, whether it's with the Bears or somebody else, the dude loves the big market. He likes that.
And we got that, and we got new management, so maybe he likes the whole idea. He's going to try the restaurant again. All right. We appreciate your time. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for your insight.
See you, Chris.
Take care.
Chris Emma of The Score.
Sorry, Steve. Awesome. I didn't mean to be awkward there, but you know, Studs was saying that was the last question, so that's why
I understand. But I wanted to. Yeah. I wasn't sure that was going to show up in what Mark heard, our new award-winning segment. So I wanted to let you have a chance to weigh in.
Oh no, I'm glad we talked about this because I'm sure it was awkward for the listener. So no, that all makes sense. That's totally cool. And I actually wanted to ask, make sure that what I was thinking about Allen, that Chris agreed on that technicality, that it's not out of the question that he's back next year.
Of course. He's somebody they could sign. We'll see. Well, maybe there's a lot to be learned from Monday's press conference. That's at 11. It'll be on The Score. Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus will be meeting Chicago, the media, taking questions, giving statements, doing all that stuff on Monday at 11 o'clock. We will bring it to you live right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And right after this comes our near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. Saturday Suckage, of course, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.